This is VOA News via remote. I'm Tommy McNeil. In a bid to quell nationwide street protests that pose the biggest challenge to President Alexander Lukashenko's 26-year rule, the Belarusian leadership said thousands of detainees would be released by morning. It also issued a rare public apology. The process began late Thursday, and by early morning Friday, hundreds of friends and relatives, many of them in tears, stood outside a detention center waiting to give food, water, and blankets to people emerging from inside. Some of the protesters had bruises and described being tightly packed inside cells and complained of mistreatment. The deputy interior minister denied the prisoners were abused. At least two protesters have died and around 6,700 detained this week in a crackdown following Lukashenko's contested re-election that has prompted the West to consider new sanctions on Minsk. The U.S. top infectious disease expert is urging school districts developing their plans for reopening for the new academic year to offer as many outdoor activities as possible from classes to recess and lunchtime. Dr. Anthony Fauci heads the National Institutes of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. He said in his Facebook live chat with Democratic Governor Gina Raimondo that windows should be remaining open and students should wear the mask while riding on school buses. On Wednesday, delayed the start of school in Rhode Island from August 31st to September 14th. Globally, there are approximately 753,000 deaths from COVID-19, with more than 167,000 of them in the United States, more than 104,000 in Brazil. The number of global infections is quickly moving toward 21 million. Just three countries, the U.S., Brazil, and India, making up at least half of the global figure. More at VOANews.com. This is VOA News. Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro was cautioning residents to exercise caution amid the pandemic, but warned of the economic fallout of coronavirus, confronting its most lethal outbreak since the Spanish flu a century ago. Brazil reported its first cases of the novel coronavirus at the end of February. The virus took 3 months to kill 50,000 people, just 50 days to kill the next 50,000. Bolsonaro, who has called COVID-19 a little flu, says he recovered from his own infection thanks to hydrochloroquine, an anti-malarial drug that remains unproven against the coronavirus. New Zealand officials continue to scramble to trace the source of an outbreak of the coronavirus after months of not having any. New Zealand Director General of Health, Dr. Ashley Bloomfield, announced 48 active cases, most of which are linked to the new outbreak in the community. Meanwhile, residents have been taking advantage of pop-up drive-through testing centers, which formed long lines in some of the busiest and populated areas. The findings of a public inquiry into how passengers infected with the novel coronavirus were allowed to disembark a cruise ship in Sydney in March, triggering a major outbreak, are set to be handed down on Friday. The government of New South Wales State commissioned the probe into the events leading up to the 2,700 passengers from the Carnival Corps-owned Ruby Princess, disembarked on March 17th without proper screening for the virus. Passengers from the ship spread the virus across the country and internationally, resulting in more than 600 cases and 20 deaths. It was at the time Australia's largest outbreak of the disease. The inquiry's findings could put pressure on senior officials in the state and federal government to take responsibility for the failures. The Justice Department said Thursday that it has seized millions of dollars from cryptocurrency accounts that militant groups, including Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State, relied on to finance their organizations and violent plots. Law enforcement officials said the groups used the accounts to solicit donations, including by trying to raise money from the sale of fraudulent personal protective equipment for the coronavirus pandemic. Officials described it as the largest ever seizure of virtual currency funds related to terrorism. It's also a part of a broader Justice Department goal of disrupting the financing of extremist organizations. U.S. President Donald Trump frankly acknowledged Thursday that he is starving the U.S. Postal Service of money in order to make it harder to process an expected surge of mail-in ballots, which he worries could cost him the election. In an interview on Fox Business Network, Mr. Trump explicitly noted two funding provisions that Democrats are seeking in a relief package that is stalled on Capitol Hill. Without the additional money, he said the Postal Service won't have the resources to handle a flood of ballots from voters who are seeking to avoid polling places during the coronavirus pandemic. Via remote, I'm Tommy McNeil, VOA News.